Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask this question all the time, what's happening? And that was the question that arose in my mind this past week. We can't catch up on the news without sensing that everything's out of whack. I mean, life's in turmoil. Right here in our world, right here in our city, right here in our homes, and most other places around the world, in fact. I mean, who hasn't heard of the uprising in Venezuela? Recent presidential election there showed that the majority of their citizens supported a newcomer, and yet the incumbent president refuses to relinquish his position. What's happening? Also this past week, we had another senseless school shooting. This one happened in Columbia, North Carolina. And then as you watch the weather patterns that are crossing our nation, we can only shake our heads in unbelief. Repeated record-breaking snow and rain have flooded much of the Midwest and the eastern portions of our country. We've been stunned right here as well, haven't we? First with the tornado just south of us in Alto. And along with that, the heavy winds in Chandler that blew over so many trees. Then the multiple flood watches and flood warnings that we've all been under, to nobody's surprise. What do you expect when you've already had 20 inches of rain since January? But you can believe that the McCarthys were surprised early last Thursday morning. Remember those thunder and lightning storms that woke us up? Well, their house was struck by lightning and caught on fire. Put it all together, and we can't help but ask, you know, what's happening? And yet, as those who trust and love our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know where to turn for the answers. We turn to His Word. Specifically, we can open up the book of Revelation because it is God's comforting account of what's happening. And I don't think there's a better time for the people of God to read through Revelation than in these days and weeks of Easter. Because it's our risen and our reigning Lord Jesus who is so clearly revealed in this book. In Revelation, we see Jesus as the Lamb who was slain, but now He's alive. Now He has triumphed over everything that would condemn and destroy us. That's the good news of Easter, isn't it? Unfortunately, though, many Christians hesitate to read the book of Revelation. It uses such confusing, strange, symbolic language throughout. But don't let that stop you. Because in these word pictures, there's a clear message of Jesus's and our ultimate victory. Yes, there's also some frightening and disturbing events that are described that'll certainly take place before our Lord returns. But in the end, our Savior will right all that's wrong. In the end, those who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow Him will win. I say all of that to say this. The book of Revelation puts hope into our hearts. And that's why God, very early in the book, wrote this. He said, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written. Because the time is near." If you and I can take the message of Revelation to heart, then imagine the impact it will also have on the three young disciples who are confirming their faith in Jesus later this morning. I mean, we all agree it's hard to grow up in this culture today and remain faithful to Jesus. Even here in East Texas, it's a challenge to stand up and say, I believe everything that's written in the Bible. I know that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. And so I'm going to live my life for His glory. Would you open your Bibles to Revelation? Let's look at chapters 4 and 5 because they give us convincing and comforting answers to our questions. Chapters 4 and 5 basically serve as an introduction for the rest of the book. And in chapter 4, we are introduced, we are ushered into the very throne room of heaven. Reigning on the throne, of course, is God the Father. There our Heavenly Father rules over all creation, over all kingdoms, over all living things. He rules and He reigns over the past, the present, and the future. Let's never forget that. Our God is on the throne. He is ruling over all. And who else is in this throne room? Well, surrounding God the Father are 24 smaller thrones. Perhaps they represent both the Old and the New Testament churches. And on these smaller thrones, 24 elders sit. Together, they lay their crowns down before our God. And according to verse 11 from chapter 4, they say in unison, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Imagine that if you can. Think of the reverence and the awe which they give. Think of that highest of all privileges of being in the very presence of God. And the privilege of offering Him your unending worship and praise. And then in chapter 5, the scene becomes even more captivating. It becomes more intense. It becomes more emotional. Why? Because John, who is writing this book, sees the one on the throne holding a scroll in his right hand. A scroll that is sealed with 7 seals, not to be opened. And what is on the scroll? It's the very counsel of God Himself. Inside the scroll reveals what is happening now and in the future. The scroll contains those things that God alone knows. Verse 2, chapter 5. "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." We get it, why John was moved to tears, don't we? No human being is able to tell us what's happening. No one is able to know what is coming, the future. No one. And so then, what is our hope? Apply that to your own life situation. If the future is a forever closed book, then what do we have to look forward to? If we're never told that there is a better life that follows this one, then is death the end? If we have no promise that God is with us in the trials, in the heartaches, in the losses of this world, then what do we have? Nothing. It's no wonder that John was weeping so hopelessly. Verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." He's speaking here of Jesus, isn't he? Jesus is that Lion of Judah, that reigning, ruling, victorious one. Jesus is that Root of David, God's promised one, the Messiah, Savior. But that's not the image that John saw. And that's not the image that ended his crying. Verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne and encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Finally. I mean, there's the answer to what's happening. The Lamb who was slain has come back to life. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come to power. He came to power through His death and resurrection. Through His death for us sinners, and now by His resurrection, Jesus the Lamb is standing in the center of the throne of God. The crucified one is now our victorious and reigning one. People of God, that's what's happening. Verses 7 to 9. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And by your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." There it is again. The reason why Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. For by His very life's blood, He purchased you and me for God. The blood of the Lamb has bought and paid for us so that we belong to God. Today, tomorrow, forevermore. The holy blood of God has made you and me one with the Almighty. I told you this book of Revelation was meant to be read and believed and shared. You see, the Lamb who gave His life for us on the cross is also the one who reveals what our future holds. Namely, our glorious, never-ending future with God. Jesus, the one who made us God's new creation, He is the one who will also welcome us into the new heaven and the new earth of eternity. That's what's happening. And so is this. By the work of the Spirit and with His gift of faith, we have been made the holy people of God. Our three students today who are confirming their faith in Jesus, they're taking that first step of being His disciples. That's what's happening. Our new parents here at Trinity are taking great joy in realizing that they are God's stand-ins in the lives of their children. That's what's happening. Christian graduates are looking forward to this new season in their life this May. They're looking ahead with hope because they know that Jesus has a plan for their lives. Plans to prosper them and not to harm them. Plans to give them hope in a future. That's what's happening. Even while still others at Trinity are finding comfort as they lean more and more into the everlasting arms of our God. Especially when one surgery requires a second one, and the second surgery reveals cancer, which requires a third surgery and then chemo. Still others are finding comfort in laying their spouse of 65 years to rest in a cemetery, but doing so, holding, clinging, grasping that promise of an eternal reunion. That's what's happening. Still others are coming to grips with being away from their kids or parents for the first time in their lives. And yet these young adults are, because they are baptized, redeemed children of God, because they are people of genuine faith, this is a happy, a healthy, a blessed time for the whole family. That's what's happening. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to save us, is making the future known to us. One event, one day at a time. And it's a glorious future. A never-ending life together with our God. And look at the response that it's calling for in heaven. It's not only the four living creatures and the 24 elders that are lifting up their voices in praise. Check out verse 11. "And I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" And it doesn't end there either. Verse 13, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them singing, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" My friends, this life that we're living and this book of Revelation, it's all about Jesus as our crucified and risen Savior being worthy. He is worthy to guide and direct your life and mine. Each and every step along the way, He is worthy. To Him be the glory and the honor, all of our trust, all of our praise, all of our thankful service. Amen. And may that peace of God that surpasses human understanding keep your hearts fixed on Jesus. Amen.